Welcome, my friends, to Cryptonomics, Principles of Cryptocurrency and Investing. I'd like to present this clip from an interview I did with Joel Valenzuela, known for his work on Dash Force News and known for being a man who travels the world and lives in New Hampshire using no other currency but cryptocurrency, especially Dash. So in this clip, he talks about the groundwork, the foundation that enabled him to see the potential of cryptocurrency. So he talks about the living through the Mexican peso crisis in 1990 and also his understanding of precious metals, among other things. This is a clip of an hour-long interview, so you can check that out. I'll put the link in the description so you can see the full thing and its entire glory. Thanks for everybody pressing share and like and subscribe, checking out the description, being a crypto bro, and connecting with me on all social media. Remember to check out Dash Force News. Let's get into it. So I wanted to ask you about how you first got into cryptocurrency. A lot of the time, I guess we focus on the stuff that happens after we get into crypto, but I think there's a lot of foundations that get laid before we even heard of Bitcoin or Dash or whatever. When you first heard about cryptocurrency, what were the things that stood out to you, or how did it make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. I've always cared about freedom, the concept of human freedom, people living their life according to what they want to do, and how much happier and better that can make people. And part of that was related to sound money. And a lot of people don't really have, some people are hobbyists with gold and silver and things like that, but I grew up in Mexico in the early 90s and there was a peso crisis. And I remember asking my parents, what's up with this coin that has many higher numbers on it, but it's just no good anymore? And then this one is good. And then I remember the exchange rate, oh, it's like 7.5 pesos to the dollar. Oh, wait, it's 8 now. And it's like, why did that happen? And so always been doing that. I went to Romania when they were switching from the old lei to the new lei. So they chopped off 5 zeros and there you go. It's the new one. So I always kind of knew that there was something wrong with the money. And I saw firsthand there's disruption that happens with people that they work their whole life and then it just kind of goes away because of some decisions of a central bank. And so I was always into gold and silver, things like that, not because I'm really into metals, but because I cared about that kind of a thing. And so when I first heard about cryptocurrency, it's like, oh, this Bitcoin thing, I hear that's good. It's like gold, but better. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I received some, I was traveling through Chicago and a friend of mine paid for his part of the pizza with Bitcoin. He's like, here, install this app. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And it was pretty interesting at that point. But it wasn't until later 2013, first off, the price going crazy, obviously, this now I can buy like a lot of pizzas with this money. But also,
so he paid you and you paid for the whole in cash.
So I paid for the whole thing in cash and he paid me back. And that was what first got my attention that, oh, this is something very interesting. This is something that's going to be very important in the future of the world. But it didn't click to me that it was huge until a few different times there was that whole thing of just going out to eat with a bunch of friends. One person just pays the tab and everyone else just pays them in Bitcoin. Just here, let me scan your phone. There you go. And that kind of that was before a lot of these payment apps got around or were popularized. And just the fact you could just download an app and not do any kind of AML KYC, not have to register, and there's a bunch of different apps you could download. They were not compatible, not anything, but yet were compatible. Here you go, send peer-to-peer cash. I knew that ease of use, that lack of friction, because money was always scary, especially when you're like a kid and you're like, I was late 20s by then, I wasn't a kid anymore, but thinking back to when you were a kid, you're always like, oh, well, I got the paper money, I know how to use that. But then you're thinking about accounts and just documents and just all this kind of adulting thing. And it's so scary. And even when you become an adult and you're very familiar with that stuff, there's still always this like money is this like, oh, you got to be careful with it kind of thing. But then here's just this free flowing. Here, I'll pay you. I'll pay you. Oh, you paid me back. Oh, I sent you $5 too much. You're sending this back. And just that freedom, that absolute financial freedom. I was thinking beyond, oh, this is cool. I was thinking the world's never going to be the same after this.
Let's go back to the currency revaluation in Mexico. Like, I guess you must have been very young when it happened, but you do remember something about it.
Yes.
Okay. Because I remember I was with my buddy. We went to some coin shops in Guadalajara and we were asking the guy, so what happened? Like, what was it like in 1990? It was like, it was terrible. It was chaos. It was a desmadre. And I was like, really? So could you still buy tortillas? And he was like, yeah. So yeah. I don't understand the extent. Like, it wasn't complete chaos, but it was very chaotic. So
yes, as with most things, it's during the period that's pretty terrible. I was not directly affected because, you know, that was early 90s and I was only born in the late 80s, so I wasn't very old, but just seeing things like switch hands, mostly I saw like the wreckage, so to speak, where you just see old coins that just aren't worth anything. And people didn't get rid of them, and they didn't always get substitutes. Like, for example, with the reissuance of the currency in India recently, where they took out several of the larger denominated bills, a lot of people just didn't get theirs back. They just kind of, oh, your money's gone. And so there's always that you can see that wreckage in the background. And so, I mean, I have several friends, in fact, actually an employee in Venezuela, and it's been pretty rough. That's kind of like the horror movie version of Mexico. Like Mexico just, oh, okay, well, this happened. It sucks. But now you got to like Venezuela and it's like, whoo. Like, of course, I always keep the Bolivar note by my desk just to remind me of like, oh, it's 500 Bolivars, which is worth like less than a Satoshi. Like it's, or if nothing at all. And this used to be able to do something with this. And yes. It's just completely not worth it. And then more than that, it's not just, all right, well, then I guess I got to spend it right away. Then you have, well, okay, bales of cash are just not going to work. You cannot write enough zeros on those notes. And why even make cash if it just becomes useless within a week? And then, okay, now we have banking systems and then the power outages and it all doesn't work. And then it's just like, well, now what do we do? And just like that ultimate failure of systems, of centralized systems, is like a stark reminder that this whole, oh, it's here today kind of attitude is not always going to work. It could be here, gone tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in to Cryptonomics. Remember to press like and press subscribe and check out the description. Be a crypto bro. Connect with me on all social media. And remember to check out Dash Force News as well. Link in the description. As always, stay grateful.